This morning, it is another privilege we have that we can worship God today in the peace and the freedom that we have, and knowing and seeing the unrest that the countries are in at this moment, and not understanding what the future holds. And one thing we know today is that God holds the future of our lives and the lives of our nations. Nothing will happen that he is not aware of. There's a verse that I read this week, and it's a very familiar verse. We read it, probably most of us, we read it quite regularly. And that verse is in Philippians 4, verse 13. I think most of us, we could recite that, and that verse goes, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Let's all recite that verse together. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. We read that, and it's probably a really powerful in your life. It is an inspiring, it's my life, like reading that, it's very inspiring to read that verse and knowing and understanding, well, I shouldn't say understanding, but seeing the where Paul was when he wrote this, these verses in Philippians 4. And what was it in Paul's life that he could pen these words? What was it in Paul's life that he built resilience to the many obstacles that he faced in his life? What was it in Paul's, what was that ingredients that he had that he was able to pen this? And we look at our Sunday school lesson today. We look at Moses and the children of Israel, how God led them through really discouraging, really difficult times in their life, and how God brought them through. And in the song of Moses, the children of Israel, the song that they sang of triumph to God, and what was brought out in our Sunday school lesson, Moses recognized who God was through that, through what the people were facing. And how often is it in our life that we can read this verse of Paul? It says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. When we feel like we are strong, we read this verse and we will say, yes, you know, this is exactly who God is. But when we read this verse, when we are going through some difficult times in our life, can we say, yes, this is who God is? And that was a challenge to me this week. Because Paul wrote these verses when he was facing some of his worst times in his life. He was beaten. He was cast into prison. He was put in stocks. He was abused. He was in shipwrecks. He was falsely accused. And how was he able to go beyond the moment that he was in? And how was he able to go beyond the setbacks that he faced in his life? We read Paul remained faithful to God. But even though he remained faithful to God, it did not make his life easier. Like, I shouldn't say easier. Even though God seen Paul's faithfulness to him, it still seemed like he still had obstacles to overcome. And what was it in Paul's life that he was able to do that? That he was able to live beyond that? And here, when Paul, he was in prison and he wrote these letters and trying to encourage these people and encouraging them to remain faithful to God. How was he able to do that? And that's, I've been thinking about it this last week through Paul's experience. And I think what was brought in our Sunday school lesson, Paul recognized who God was. Not for what God was doing or allowing in his life, but he recognized God for who God truly was. There is a few verses, and we want to go to Habakkuk. I don't know how many of you read the Habakkuk, the prophet, what he wrote. He wrote three chapters, I believe. And if you're like me, I probably don't spend much time in there, but I want to go back to Habakkuk, and we're going to see a little bit of his life and his experiences that he was facing. He was a prophet. He was writing, and it's kind of a dialogue between him and God. And not only a dialogue between him and God, but also he wasn't warning Judah of what was going to happen, but he was writing this as well to the people, that the remaining few that had not been caught up and living in an apostate state of adopting worshiping other gods and living in sin. Put it plain and simple, they were living in sin. So Habakkuk, he was writing this to encourage the few that were still remaining, that were faithful. And he was trying to, in Habakkuk, he was trying to, to those few remaining, the ones that remained faithful to God, that they would comprehend or have an understanding God's ways in dealing and using sinful people or sinful nations like Babylon to bring judgment upon the people of God, that they were going to recognize who God was. And Habakkuk was trying to figure out, why is God using sinful or the Babylonians to bring judgment upon his people? So he was questioning how, it goes back to 2 Kings. In 2 Kings, it talks about Nebuchadnezzar, him rising up to power. We know Babylon was one of the most powerful, it was world's power at that time. Nebuchadnezzar thought he would not be defeated. He was, wherever he went, he turned everything upside down. He was able to conquer, and he was able to take a lot of captives, and he brought them back to Babylon. And that's one of these pictures. And this is Habakkuk when he was writing this. If I understand this correctly, was when he went out to war, and on returning, he invaded Judah, and this is where this passage comes in. And he took a large number of captives into captivity, and he brought them back to his homeland. And among those people was Daniel and his three friends. And this is over the same time when King Nebuchadnezzar, he took and he tore down the temple, and he brought Jerusalem to complete ruin. And this is where Habakkuk is saying let's read a few of these verses. Habakkuk 1. The burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see. O Lord, how long shall I cry, and thou wilt not hear? Even cry out unto thee of violence, and thou wilt not save. So in here, in verse 2 is where he's saying, O Lord, how long shall I cry, and thou wilt... And it seemed to him that God was not hearing his cry. And he was seeing all the violence that was around him. And he says in verse 3, he says, Why didst thou show me iniquity, and cause me to behold grievance? And spoil and violence are before me, and there are that rise up strife and contention. Therefore the law is slacked, and judgment doth never go forth. For the wicked doth compass around the righteous, therefore wrong judgments proceedeth. There he's saying, God, here I'm crying out to you. I don't see you working. And all I see around me is evil. And I see misery. I see destruction happening around me. There is fighting going on. There's stuff happening. And it says that wicked death can pass around the righteous. And this is where he's saying, God, where are you in this quiet time? And I had to think of that if you look at God and you look at the nations around us and you see a lot of the political unrest that is happening and all the events that are taking place. And one of the things that the Bible talks about God is that even though there is a lot of things happening, there's unrest happening, that none of that unrest exhausts God, or does it distract God from allowing his will and his purpose to happen. And that is one of the things that God was trying to show Habakkuk here. When all we can see is injustice, and we can see brokenness happening around us, and we see things going on, and we look at it and we say, why is a lot of these senseless things happening? And we try to understand it, and we try to reason with it, and we try to see this. And sometimes in our life, silence is very difficult. When God is silent in our life, when we cry out to him, there's a few things that silence can do to us. Silence has a potential of turning us bitter. It has potential of becoming very discouraged. Silence, when God is silent, the other thing that can happen, it can bring our attention to God's sovereignty. There's two things that I think can happen in our life. Situations will come into our life that will, we don't understand why they happen or what the purpose is behind it, because with our little minds, and when we allow our emotions to get involved in some of these things, they don't make sense to us. And we wonder, where is God in this situation? How can this be? And what God taught, and this is the dialogue between God and Habakkuk, in verse 5, and here in verse 5, he says to him, to the prophet, he says, behold, ye among the heathen, and regard and wonder marvelously, for I will work a work in your days which ye will not believe, though it be told you. In other words, God is saying to Habakkuk, watch, you look and see, because I am still God of the throne. I am still God of your life. I am going to work wonders in your life, even though you don't understand, even though I'm silent, because I see the bigger picture. That's why I was like thinking of Philippians 4, which is, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. For us, sometimes it's easy to say that, but can we feel that? Can we feel that? That we can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Because there is times when we feel, I think sometimes in our life, we sometimes get, I shouldn't say entitled, but we can tend to think that being a Christian, I deserve to be happy. I deserve to be secure. I deserve things to go well for me in my life. I'm a Christian. Things should go well for me in my life. And sometimes we wonder, what is God's responsibility in my life? So when things don't go the way we want it to go, what do we say, or how do we feel, or what is God's responsibility in my life? And that is some of the things I want to look at this morning, is what do we expect of God? What are our expectations? Are we expecting God to just allow, or wanting God to just allow just great things to happen, as much as we all want to be in our comfort zone and we want to be comfortable in the place where we're at? But there is something that I think I myself get twisted in my mind sometimes, because I set my expectations at a place that I don't really think I have a proper view of who God is, and that's why I have my expectations where they're at. Because you look at Apostle Paul and all the things that he went through in his life, and how could he pen these words, that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me? And that's one of the questions I'm not sure what you're all dealing with and where you are at in your life, but I feel that some of you you're as human as I am in not understanding, sometimes being able to grasp who God truly is. And I want this morning, if there's nothing else that you can get from the message this morning, or when we look into God's, into the Bible today, I want each one of us to gain a greater awareness of who God really is. That's my thrust of the message today, is along with, this is very real. Habakkuk was wrestling with the same questions that we wrestle with today. Who is God in some of these situations that we're faced with? Because sometimes our expectations of who we think God should be in our life is different than who God truly is. And we're going to look at a few. We're actually going to look at one person in the scripture that that Jesus said, upon this rock will I build my church. And he was one of the people that had his expectations set on who God was. He had a different vision of who the Messiah should actually be. And today I hope we can grow in knowledge through the scripture and grasp grasp some strength in understanding that who God is when we see our fellow Christians, and want to recognize the indwelling work of the Holy Spirit in our life. If you care to turn with me to, we're going to be back into Habakkuk towards the end of the message, but Matthew 16. Matthew 16, 13 to 23. And Matthew 16, 13 to 23. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some say Elias, and some say Jeremias, or one of the prophets." And he said unto them, "But who say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Borja, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it to you, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee, and I also say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. And here I want you to pay attention to verse 21 to 22, actually 23. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and the chief priests and scribes, and be killed and be raised again on the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, "Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee." But he turned and said unto Peter, "Get thee behind me, Satan, thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that are of men." I don't know if I ever read that verse with these verses, how that Peter actually took, and it's kind of like I get the picture, Peter taking his hand on Jesus' shoulder and pulled him aside and says, "Jesus, you can't speak like this. These things will not happen. They can't." Verse 22, "This shall not be unto thee." So Peter is telling Jesus, "Yeah, you are the Son of the Living God, but these the elders and the chief priests and the scribes, they're going to come against you, and you're going to be killed and on the third day you shall rise." And Peter is saying to Jesus, "No, that cannot happen to you." So what I'm trying to get to is, God sometimes works in a different way than how we expect. Peter, he grew up, from my understanding, he was aware of what the scripture said. He was a well-educated man. He knew the Messiah was going to come. But when it came to, he knew that Jesus was the Son of God, but he did not expect these things to unfold the way Jesus said. So my reasoning, or my thoughts are kind of going down the path that God works in ways that are different than we expected. Peter didn't expect God to work in a way that his friend was going to be killed, and God was going to raise him again. And here Peter showed Jesus that he was disappointed and in the way he was speaking. So God is God even when we can't imagine how life will work out. And we can know if the Messiah would have worked out to how Peter would have wanted it to work out, it would not have worked out. And here, God's plan and God's purpose, how the Messiah was going to come, and that he was going to be betrayed, beaten, and killed, and that he was going to rise, that was a far better expectation than what Peter could ever have imagined. And so is life. There's many things that we expect God to work differently in our life than we want God to work differently in our life than how it's unfolding. And my prayer is this morning, and it's same as in Habakkuk, even though he did not understand why God was silent, how God was using nations, evil nations, to punish God's people or to work in God's people or bring judgment upon them, that in one of the verses, I think it's in the second chapter, verse 4 of Habakkuk, and he says, "But increase my faith in you, Lord." And that is my prayer today, is even though things happen completely different than what we expect, but our prayer needs to be, "Increase my faith in you, Lord," because in the end, God's plan, God's purpose, God's will is the best plan. Mark 14, if you care, turn with me to Mark 14. Mark 14, 32 to 36. And this is just further down. This is the Gospels according to Mark. And this is the time, it was getting closer to the time of Jesus' death. And in Mark 14, 32, and it says, "And they came to the place which is called Gethsemane. And he said to his disciples, sit here while I shall pray. And he taketh with them Peter and James and John, and began to be sore amazed and to be very heavy. And he said unto him, My soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. Tarry here and watch. And he went forward a little and fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, Abba, Father, all these things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not that I will, but thy will, but what thou wilt." And here, Jesus, he knew perfectly well what God's will was in his life. And this is something that he needed to go through. But Jesus still asked the Father to remove the agony, remove the pain, remove things away from his life. But he says, not my will, but thine be done. And I think here in this chapter, Jesus is saying it is okay for us to come to God and to allow God to know what our emotions are, what we're feeling, what we're broken with, what is stirring our heart and everything. God is saying, and Jesus is showing by example, it's okay to do that. It's okay to come before God and to let God know what we're going through. But he said, not my will, but thine be done. He still lived in obedience to what God wanted him to do. And I think sometimes in our life, it is necessary for us to bring our emotions before God. It's in order for us to move forward. Because God remains all-powerful, all-knowing, and he is worth trusting in our life. Like Habakkuk felt, where is God through what Judah was facing, what he was facing? Where was God through that? But what Jesus is showing here in Mark 14 is, it's okay to let God know what our emotions are feeling, but don't allow our emotions to govern. Don't let our emotions govern in deciding who God is in our life. Because God is still God. He's all-powerful. Turn back with me to Habakkuk again. And here in Habakkuk 3, verse 17 to 19. And this is after he's seen God spoke to him and told him what was going to happen. Even though God was silent, God revealed to him what was going to take place. And after God had spoken to him, this is what his conclusion was after this whole situation. And in verse 17, this is what Habakkuk says. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of oil shall fail, the fields shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Man, you look at that. That just looks pretty devastating. What was his response? He says, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds' feet, and he will make me to walk upon high places to the chief singers on my stringed instruments. That was the prophet's response when he was experiencing silence from God. And in my commentator says, Habakkuk testified that he served God not for what he gave, but because he was God. And going back to chapter 2, verse 4, it says, Behold, his soul which lifteth up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. And that is my prayer today, is that we will find strength in recognizing that God is God, and there in God works in different ways in our life than what we expect, and that's okay. Even though it's hard for us to comprehend or understand why God is working in a certain way, we need to understand, or we need to rest in the fact that even though we do not understand why God is working, but that we need to trust and have faith in God, that he is still God of my life, and he is in control of my life. Even though it is very difficult sometimes to grasp that or to rest in that fact, but my conclusion is when I went through Philippians, and let's turn to Philippians. When I look at Paul's life and all the things that he went through, and him and Silas, you know, you look at him and casting out demons, and he was doing good things for God, and the consequences that him being put into prison, being falsely accused of interfering with these men that were using this little slave girl for profiting off of her, and all these things that were happening. And yet, how could Paul say all these things about who God is, and these encouragings, like, I can do all these things through Christ who strengthens me? And my conclusion, reading through Philippians, reading not through Philippians, but some of these chapters in Philippians, is that Paul's focus was not on what he was going through, but Paul's focus was on God and how God worked, and wherever he was going to be, that God was going to get the glory through whatever situation he was in. And in Philippians 3, Paul talks about it, and here in Philippians 3, verse 9, and he says this, and be, you know, actually I'm going to go to verse 8, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. And here in verse 9, and be found in him, that's here Paul, he has his focus on Christ, and he says, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. And here is Paul's goal in verse 10, is that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might obtain unto the resurrection of the dead. So in verse 9, here Paul had a focus that he may be found in Christ, and in verse 10, that I may know him. And I think that is Paul's ingredients that he was able to be resilient to a lot of these things that was happening in his life. And in my prayer is this morning that each one of us will obtain a better understanding of who God is, like what was brought out in the Sunday school lesson, looking at Moses and the songs that they sang. It was lifting God up and praising God and seeing that God, he still was in control. God sees the whole picture of your life. He sees the picture of my life, even though we don't understand it. And I want to praise God this morning that we can have faith and we can trust him and allow him to work in our life. May God bless each one of you.